The sermon topic is, I am divine. Right away, our thoughts go to John 15, if you would turn there with me. Jesus, just about the last week of his earthly existence, he's talking to his disciples, maybe in hushed tones, maybe more sincere than he's been, trying to impress them and trying to get them to understand it, that I'm winding down, guys. Things are happening that's going to surprise you, but I'm still in charge. John 15, beginning at verse 1. I am divine. That's the subject of the sermon. I am divine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot be a fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. The word of God is complete. The word of God says what God wants us to hear, what God wants us to understand. Some years ago I said that if you would, for a study, look at all the I am's of Christ's statements in the New Testament, and that will be quite an exhaustive study. I am this and I am that. John 14 and 6, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I am the resurrection and the life. That's John 11:25. So the I ams of Christ are very noteworthy, and we can get a tremendous blessing if we pursue all the I ams, so we can see exactly what we need to understand. Was Christ confused? Why is he saying, I'm divine, I'm the way, I'm the resurrection? Is he confused as to what and who he is? Obviously, Christ was and never is confused, but he is all of these things. Today, he says, I am divine. It sounds as though you're saying, I am divine, meaning of a godly sort. But here he's talking about the vine. A vine is a tree in one respect. What does a vine do? How can he compare himself to a vine? A vine runs, whereas a regular standing tree stands there tall, and that's all it does. Of course it grows. But a vine, the world is its farm. Give it a chance and it will go for miles. A regular tree stands there and does what he has to do. And Christ is saying, my message, my truth, my gospel, if you give it an opportunity and a chance, it will spread around the world, because I have commissioned my disciples and they will take my word to the ends of the world. You know, there are all kinds of vines in the world. There are wild vines. There are tomato vines. Oh, tomatoes is a tree, didn't you? There are all kinds of vines. And they are fascinating. Some of them are a blessing in disguise. But vines are plentiful. This is the season of watermelon. The wonderful fruit, watermelon, grows on a vine. And it's found on the ground. It doesn't grow in a tree. Even though it's a tree, it's producing that fruit. But it's a fruit, it's a tree that runs along the ground. It also runs on a wall. If there's a wall nearby, the vine runs along the wall. It goes where it wants to go. The famous poem, as the tree is bent, so it's inclined. Meaning, when the tree is young, pliable, moldable, you can bend it. I wanted to go over this word. I'll put it over here. And it starts going in that direction. So Jesus said, I am the vine. But he also makes leeway for us. He said, we are the branches. A tree grows shoots, and those shoots become branches. He said, you and I are the branches of his growing. What kind of branch are you? You know that if a branch is broken off, it is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out under the foot of men. You know, yard this week, my son was pruning the tree, and all around there are little groups of branches and leaves that he's gathered together. And with every passing day, as I look out there, those branches, those leaves are getting drier and drier. His plan is to burn them eventually. That's all you can do with dead leaves and dead branches. Do you want to be a dead branch? Because our sap, our continuity to live, is dependent on our attachment to Christ. He said, without me, you can do nothing. There are times when you feel your life becoming, what am I about? What am I doing coming here every Sabbath? What am I doing in this church? You are here, brethren, that you might grow thereby. And when you find yourself not growing, when you find yourself being sapped of the virtue of life, maybe there's a connection, a disconnection someplace. You put the electrical cord in, the light doesn't come on, you flick the switch. Or the switch might be bad. That's a possibility. So what you start doing is looking along the line, the electric line, as to if the connection is proper. Is it made? Is it holding? Is it loose? Is there short? Is there breakage in the connection? When you find your life off kilter, there's no juice. There's not insufficient spark. Could it be that there is a disconnection? Jesus said here, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. The tree doesn't bear fruit. The tree stands there. It's the tentacles, the branches that carry that precious sap. And then fruit begin to show themselves. Are you showing fruit, brethren? Is there fruit in your life? Is there identity? As the previous speaker said, is there identity with you and Jesus Christ? Or are you so far removed from him that people wonder, well, you said you're a Christian, but course, they don't know what Christianity is. The world doesn't know what Christianity is. We are the ones to convey to them the true evidence, the true declaration as to what Christianity is. And if we aren't doing that, the world is knowing. The world is as blind, as they say, blind as a bat. Verse 2, every branch, everyone who professes Jesus Christ is a branch. You are the branches. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. That seems cruel. Why is he so impatient? I just started my Christian life. How can I bear fruit? You're supposed to be a fruit. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, so it might bring forth fruit. Galatians chapter 5. Let's see what verse 22 shows. When Christ's Spirit begins to inhabit us, God expects fruit to be born in our life. And that fruit to be evident to everybody. What kind of fruit are you showing? What kind of fruit are we bearing? We don't expect apples from a guava bush. We don't expect figs from a cherry tree. The fruit you bear ought to have relevance and relation to the vine or to the tree. When you get angry and profanity spews out of your mouth, is that the fruit of Jesus Christ? Are you showing forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? Paul is acquainting the Galatians here, who had come to know God, called of God. God sent him to the Galatians, and he's telling them in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit-born person, the fruit you show is love. When you say, well, I hate them, them is so generic, you know. You don't want to call your name. I hate them. I hate him. I hate her. Is that a fruit of the Spirit? Notice in this first part of verse 22, it's not fruits, plural. It is fruit, singular. Giving one the impression and the understanding that these many fruits that we look forward to, they're born by the Spirit of God. And that Spirit puts out the fruit and the many aspects of that fruit. A love, joy, peace, long-suffering. How long do you suffer before you fly off the handle? Goes back to the question, how deep? All right. How good is the fruit you're bearing of Jesus Christ? Gentleness? How gentle are you? How patient are you with others? How patient are you as you are tested? Because don't forget, you are being tested just as much as you think that person is testing you. How is your response? Gentle? How good is your goodness? Maybe you don't have very much goodness to give. patience, faith. You pray to God and you expect God to answer instantly. You call your child, Johnny, come here. He doesn't come right away. He's playing with a toy and otherwise occupied. Your patience runs short and you fly off. Johnny, didn't I call you? We pray to God and we expect God to be like a genie. You rub that genie lamp, unless that genie responds, you say, wait a minute, you're no genie. You pray to God about that back, or that headache, or that foot, and there seems to be no response. The heaven seems to be like brass. How long have you been praying for me? I guess you pray for me, don't you? My wife and I were coming the other day, it's over a year. The foot is still there, it's still needing help coming up the step. Why don't you try running? I ride my stationary bike just about every day at the house, exercising, trying. We have a step down in the den, going up and going down. Oh, this is like going up on the podium. It's trident. There's still no total healing. It's a whole lot better. When I first came out of the hospital, I couldn't walk. Gave me a big walker. Why should anybody go back to the walker? But we expect instantaneous response to the things we do. And that time we forget that we are supposed to demonstrate and produce the fruit and its ingredients of gentleness and patience. We are annoyed. You do not want to be annoyed by anyone. Meekness. When last did you work on your meekness? Christ-likeness. Some weeks ago, I gave a sermon on Christ-likeness over carnal-mindedness. I want you to remember the sermons I gave, because you're going to be held responsible one of these days. You heard him speak all that. You heard what Jeff said. We're not just saying words. We ask God to inspire us that we might inspire you. But if we give our message from the depth of our hearts, and I've heard Mr. Warren's report, yeah, that's all right. It's a good sermon. I don't preach to hear it was good. I preach for the effect. What is it doing to your Christianity? Is it helping you in your job to be a better person? To be a better parent? To be a better member? Meekness, temperance against such. There is no legislation. Because the Spirit of Christ is above just words on the paper, in a book. The Spirit of God works with our minds. That's why Paul says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we have to strive to be bearing fruit. Hence, Galatians 5 and 22. You need to memorize that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and joy, and peace, and gentleness, and goodness, and meekness, and above all, Christ likeness. That's what we're striving for, brethren, to be like Jesus Christ. Unless that is objective, unless that's our objectivity or aspiration, we're not getting the job done. I am divine. We get our sap, our juice, or motivation, or ability to put out fruit. Not because we are some mucky muck, we are nothing. Paul said to the Philippians, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Philippians 4 and 13. So, as branches, we bear fruit. One commentator says, we don't produce fruits. We bear fruit. Christ is divine. And his strength, his sap, his power, it's in the roots. And unless we stay to the roots and stay to the vine, we will wither and die. Like the branches at the back of my yard or yard, they're there getting dry every day we see them. His plan is to scrape them together, they're already in that pile, and then eventually burn them. And if we lose our connection to the vine, our life is over. It's like Jesus saying, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, its ability to cure, to harden, to preserve, he said in Matthew that it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. It is absolutely no good. That's what we are if we lose our connection to Jesus Christ and God the Father. Look at the Psalms. We are doing Psalms these days, and I hope you're enjoying them. The Psalms have special information, special satisfaction. So God put them in His Word. And as we've said over the weeks, they're there to inspire us. The Israelites on their way up to Jerusalem to keep the feast, they would sing Psalm 100. And they would sing the Psalms. That's why Armstrong commissioned his brother to write hymns for the people of God. We can't just sing all the songs the other churches are singing. We have special songs because we are somehow special. We are the special people of God. And we have to understand that when we become part of God's church. We aren't just like, well, the other churches, they're just another church. I remember years ago, when the minister first came to visit me in my place, he was trying to let me know that you're not just coming into another church. This is the church of God. And I had to get that to wrap around my mind. So this church is not like the Anglican church. This is not like the Catholic church. It's not like the Baptist church or the Methodist church. No, this is the church of God. And we many times lose our focus and don't realize that this is something different. God called us here for a purpose. So you have no right leaving here and say, well, this one down there is as good as this, so I can go down there. God called you here for a purpose. God gave you your parents. You are their issue. You came out from them. You're different from the children on the street. So we've got to understand that. Let's look at Psalm 1. We can start from the beginning. The whole thing is so rich. I was going to start at verse 3. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Do you delight in God's law? Or do you like some of the other churches? The law is done away. The law of God cannot be done away. The law of God will be the law of the kingdom of God. The same law. And anyone coming into the family of God has got to submit to the law of God. We've got to get that straight. That's what it is. His delight is the law of the Lord. And in His law, God's law, does He meditate day and night. The word of God is the law of God. You have to read it day and night. Read it continuously, meditatively, contemplatively, internalizing it, that it might become a part of your very fabric. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Conversely, the ungodly, non-called man, that could be your brother, your sister, your parents, if you're not called, you're not called, you're ungodly. Oh, but my mother reads the Bible every day. That's not sufficient. That's not the only thing. You've got to have a calling of God. You've got to have that separation. The ungodly are not so, but are like the shaft. Is God referring to my brother and parents, a shaft? Yes. They're like the shaft which the wind drives away. See not confused your brother and your parents are. Yeah. They're unstable. They're confused. They're like shaft. Unless we come to understand these strange, straight demarcation lines. They're the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly is not. Simply that. The righteous shall inherit the earth, the ungodly shall become shaft in the wind. That is what God is saying, and that is what the truth of God is. We have got to remember that we have been called. We've got to start thinking of ourselves as special. We've got to start thinking of ourselves as singular. We've got to start thinking of ourselves not better than others. Though in a sense you are, because God has called you now, so you can understand that you're a branch. And a branch cannot of itself be a fruit. It is dependent on the vine. It's dependent on the stalk. It's dependent on the root. We're dependent on so many things, and yet we are so quick to run off and feel, I can do it by myself. He cannot. You remember Peter, the night Christ was arrested. He had a sword. We don't read of any of the other disciples having a sword, but Peter had one. And his first impulse, his first impression, was to charge to the front and slash and dash, and you're not going to do this to my Lord. The word tells us in John 19 that he cut the ear of the high priest's servant off. That high priest's servant's name was Malchus. That's one of my trivial questions I used to ask. What is the name of the guy whose ear Peter cut off? It's really you, Malchus, right there in John 19. Jesus said, hey! Put away your sword. This is prophesied. Unless I do this, there is no salvation for the world. I am the vine. I am the way. This is the way this has got to go. Put away your sword. Unless we follow the plans of God, we will find ourselves off kilter. We find ourselves doing things by our own strength. And then we read in the hymn, the arm of flesh will fail you, no matter how strong and big and developed you think you are. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. We've got to be connected to the vine in order for us to be able to bear fruit. We don't produce the fruit. The vine, the roots, the tree does that. But we bear it for the world. We show the world, as Paul says in Galatians 5, the fruit have several aspects to it. Their love and joy and peace and gentleness, long-suffering. They're there for you to read, brethren. When you want to see how far off the mark you are, get out Galatians chapter 5. Don't worry with verses 19 through 21. That's the fruit of the flesh. Many times we find ourselves in that category. Nobody put you there but yourself. Anger and malice and drunkenness and all the other derivative things and all the diverse things I mentioned in verses 19 through 21. Then you want to see how you're doing? Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. How are you bearing? What kind of fruit do you have? Is the fruit in your life? Or is it drudgery? Is it what they refer to in the women's movement? The glass ceiling. I'm not growing. Though there are plants that grow in glass enclosures. I went to back in my country, and they had this demonstration showing how trees can grow without being attached to the ground. They had them tomatoes, I think it was, hooked onto a line, the vine, and they would wet that tomato plant every day. I think there was a drip. And it was bearing fruit. It was alive. It was connected. Though the roots were not in the ground, yet they were saturated and they were producing fruit. We cannot produce fruit if we are not attached to the vine. Let's go back to John 15. It's not done with us yet. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified. Don't you want to glorify God? Don't you want God to be pleased with you and your bearing of fruit, that you bear much fruit? Let there be a plenteous, yea, a copious supply of fruit in you, coming from you. So shall you be my disciples. He's looking for evidence of fruit bearing, fruit producing. He wants you to be his disciple, as the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. In other words, keep the love of God going. And that should be apparent in you. And that's what God expects. If you keep my commandments, he brings in the commandments. The word of God is the same. It's never done away, not folded up and thrown away. Keep my commandments and you shall abide in my love. Abide means to stay. He said to your dog, sit there. You go into the shop and you come back and expect to see your dog there. Nobody didn't steal it. God expects us to abide. Stay. In Acts 2, the Bible said they were abiding in Jerusalem. It says the same thing about the shepherd. They were abiding in the field, waiting there, sitting, waiting on their sheep. And the disciples had come to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. They were abiding in that place. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit came upon them. It was God's timetable. They had very little to do with it, but just abide, wait there. And God's Spirit came upon them, came into them, came through them, Because they were yielded. And if we expect to bear fruit, not produce fruit, bear fruit, we've got to abide in Him and keep His commandments. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Are you a joyous person? Or are you a sour puss? You're always sour. You're always want to argue. You always want to fight. Or do you have the joy of God in your life? Why are you so always happy? Why are you so positive? Never contentious. Some people, you speak to them and they want to contend, they want to fight. That's not good, brethren. That is not the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 12. This is my commandment. So he's gone back giving commandments again. I thought it was done away. That you love one another as I have loved you. I hope you love me, brethren. I love you. Doing God's will as a deacon in God's church, I've got to love the brethren. In spite of their quotes and their problems and their difficulties and their sourness many times. Sour toward me, and sour toward God, and toward God's word. I still have to love you and serve you. So does Mr. Davis. He has to come here and love you. Remember when we were in the other group, one lady said to me, I don't think he likes me. I said, you can't say that. The fact that he's your pastor means he has to love you. If he doesn't love you, he has a problem. And he's not fit to lead God's people. So you cannot say things that are not true. Let's get down to verse 15. Let's go to verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what Christ did. You are my friend. If you do whatsoever I command you. And forth, from this time forth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I call you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me. Sometimes you wonder, why do I have to get there every Saturday? You've not chosen God, brethren. God has chosen you through Jesus Christ. But I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. The question has come up many times. I've asked God for so many things and I didn't get it. Goes back to the statement, God is no genie. You don't rub God as you rub the genie lamp and hope that the genie appears on the side. No, God is teaching us faith. He's teaching us to wait on the Lord. He's teaching us to abide, stay connected. Have you ever thought that the reason God is not answering your prayers the way you like Him to is because there's a disconnection? The line to the juice is broken. Disconnected, a fuse is blown. Put the radio on in the car and it didn't come on. Did everything? Go to the mechanic and said, oh, the fuse for the radio is blown. He restores it to the 10, and all of a sudden the radio is as alive as it always should be. So we should remember that we have not called ourselves. We are branches. And unless the branches are directly and firmly connected to the vine. That's what he said. I am the vine. You cannot function. You cannot perform at optimum if we are not connected to the vine. Brethren, let's stay connected. For without the vine and the root, he said, my Father is the husbandman. He dresses it. He takes care of the vine. He's looking out for the vine. The vine has no obstacle. The vine goes over anything that's in its path. The wall goes around the post, wherever. Because the vine is protected and cared for by the husbandman. let us be good branches, because we have a good vine whose father is the husbandman.